Here's Brian Broaddus with a look at that Baltimore Ravens defense.
Thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate that. Yeah, this is a team that's struggling a little bit on their defensive side of the ball. They're not getting the pressures. They're not getting pressures or sacks when they blitz. That's another problem that they've had in this. When you watch them play, you know, there's some teams. They got the defensive end for the Ravens got the first sack of the first play of the game against the Raiders the other day. And then other than that, it was kind of like they were really kind of struggling to get some pressure on the Raiders. And, you know, Kansas City was the opening opponent. You know, they had some opportunities in those games and they just didn't. But the teams have done a pretty good job of attacking this Raven defense. The two games that I watched were they're not getting off the football. They're not getting the pressures. They're not doing things that normally wouldn't you see a Raven defense, but they've got a lot of size up front. If you think you're going to run the football against these guys, it's not going to happen. Travis Jones has got size. Michael Pierce, I don't think they could block Michael Pierce in the running game because of just the size that they have. These guys don't give you any ability to give any push. When you get into them, what they do is they just absorb your block and then they get rid of you and then they find ways to make tackles. Roquan Smith at linebacker, it's a lot like when you're playing Cora Moore against the Browns in week one. He's a smaller guy. He's going to run to the ball. He's going to make tackles.
But he's smart like DeMario Davis.
Yeah, he's just
instincts galore.
Instincts galore. Where teams have taken advantage of him a little bit, and the Raiders were able to do this was they got him in coverage. Kansas City did the same thing.
Yeah, Chiefs tore him up.
Kansas City put him in coverage where they split their tight ends out. They played their tight ends detached, and then they ran. They got him in some one on one stuff. But this team has struggled to, like I say, with the playing some pass defense. Marlon Humphrey usually plays the left corner. He's given up two touchdowns already this season. He gave up one last year.
Doesn't look like he can run as well anymore.
It's funny about him though. Things have happened to him where, like, especially when they put him in the slot, they throw it quick on him. If they're going to play him in the slot every time that he's in the slot, and I know it's rough to say. Well, go after an all-pro player like this, but in the slot. That's where I would attack him. On the outside, I would leave him alone because he's comfortable playing on the outside. The slot looks to me like that he's a little bit of like he's not sure. Like, and I mean not sure of like which way you're going to go. Where do I have to carry you? Are you going to run me over here or up the field? And so
it's a different beast in there.
It is a different beast. And he's played this a lot more than he has at any point in time of his career, but they're trying to get Nate Wiggins involved. They have a guy, a second-year player named Jalen Amar Davis, that is playing some as well. This safety bunch has had trouble covering tight ends. So
Hamilton, that's interesting. He should be like an eraser.
Okay, Hamilton's playing. He's playing linebacker. He's playing like when you watch the games of him. They've got him now playing like Kirst did for the Cowboys.
Kind of like a rover?
No, like down box in the box, like a box linebacker.
Is that because, I mean, they're trying to replace Patrick Queen. Maybe Trenton Simpson's not ready for that.
They're trying to get tacklers down in there is what they're trying to do. But you could look at Hamilton. He'll play linebacker, he'll play slot, and he'll also play safety. And they're all kind of equal, like how it's divided up. But the majority of the times where he's making plays is down in the box playing as that linebacker. I have a feeling he's going to be the guy that's going to carry Ferguson in this game. I mean, come on. Marcus Williams and Eddie Jackson have had problems with the Raiders, and the Raiders have got two quality tight ends. The Raiders gave them problems. We all know what the Chiefs got at tight end. That could be a problem. And this is a team that's struggled with that. But they... You know, when you look at him also too, they've got this length on the edge. When I was talking about Owe and then Kyle Van Noy, they're really big inside and they've got length on the edge. Their pass rusher, David Ajobu, is their, I think, who is a backup. He wears number 90.
He's finally healthy.
He's the one
draft and stash.
Yeah, he's the one guy that when you watch them like the get off of the football and get up the field. He's a guy that can cause some problems for you. So I think Owe, Ajobu, Those are the two guys. Matabike in the middle is not getting the pressures that we saw from him last year. He's not getting off the ball as quick as he was last year. And you could see people are blocking him more as that three technique. So the challenge is going to be, like I say, if they can find any way to run the ball, I think it's going to be very, very difficult here just because of the size and the length that the Ravens have. Throwing the football, that's, I think, where you're going to be. If you protect this thing, you've got a couple of different avenues to go at it. I would say Brandon Stevens is the right corner.
It's a plain old wildcat right there.
Yeah, Brandon Stevens is a guy that I would – he's one of those guys that has trouble at the top of the route. All of a sudden you're running routes on him and then you break inside. He has trouble just quickly adjusting inside to carry routes. So anything that kind of breaks in or makes him have to move could be a little bit of a problem there for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think all these corners you can, particularly with CeeDee Lamb, totally take advantage of.
I would take Cooks, and I don't know if they'll use Cooks because we ask for it every year.
Yeah.
I would put Cooks on Brandon Stevens because I think that Cooks is one of your best route runners.
Yeah.
And I would wear Brandon Stevens out with Cooks in this game, just making him defend routes all day.
Yeah, it's not something that's ever come naturally for him.
No.
He played corner, safety, back to corner. He's had to bounce around quite a bit.
Yeah, the Marlon Humphrey to me is a guy, there's still that ability to make plays. He had an interception against the Raiders. It was a poorly thrown ball that he was able to, but he's not playing as well, but I wouldn't tempt fate there. Go the other way, attack. If Wiggins somehow gets in the game, attack him.
He practiced today, I believe. Yeah, so.
Amora Davis, I would go after him. He wears number 5. Brandon Stevens, number 21. Those are the guys that I would try and take a run. And I think this could be a big game for Cooks, especially if you match him up against Stevens.
So Humphrey is playing mostly in the nickel the inside.
Yeah, when they want to get Wiggins on the field, that's what they've been doing.
Okay.
So then
Lamb, maybe you want to keep him on the boundary a little bit more because he's like almost he's pushing 60% of his snaps in the slot right now.
Yep.
Last year he did more boundary X stuff, this is back to that.
I have a feeling if you go in that slot area, then Humphrey's probably going to walk in there with you. That would be my
comfortable either way.
And that's a good spot.
It's always a...
Well, I think that to me, Humphrey's looks like he's struggling more at nickel than he is struggling on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So it could work out pretty well for you. But this team, it's no joke. It's not because people can't run. They give up some big plays. Those explosive plays, I talk about 14 of them. I mean, they're way ahead of where they were last year. I think they, as a unit, I think they gave up 10.
And do you expect them to remedy that at some point this season?
Or I hope it's not this weekend. That's my hope. I mean,
When you're watching them, do you see good players?
They're good players.
Making mistakes because it's early or doing things out of character?
I think they missed their coordinator myself. I think that they lost 3 coaches.
Yeah.
Hmm. And one of the coaches became a head coach, and the other two became coordinators. I think they're struggling right now with a first year coordinator, and they're struggling to play as a unit for him. But they're also giving up some big plays, and that's not what their game is. But if they don't correct that, then to your question, they're going to be a team that's probably not going to win many games because that's kind of their MO is they play really, really good defense and they give the ball to their quarterback and here we go. But right now they're struggling with that.
It's been a huge storyline, I think. And, you know, I don't know if coordinators have always been this big of a factor, but it seems massive right now. You know, the continuity, knowing the strengths of your players, knowing a guy works well with your players, he calls the game well for your players, all those things definitely go into it. Krusty's corner. So you expect the Cowboys to have success on Sunday offensively?
I think there's possibilities for success. I don't think they'll be able to run the ball, but I do feel like if you protect your front, then there's a couple of opportunities, I think, with the way that the Ravens are playing their secondary, or the way the Ravens are currently playing their secondary, that you can make some plays on them. But it we'll see how that goes. I mean, every time, like I say, you feel like, oh, hey, get Cooks involved. You know, he's got a matchup here. Oh, run him against a guy that can't really play routes all that well. Then he'll have one target in the game for, you know, that kind of thing.
And weird.
We'll be talking about in the post game, like, what the hell happened with Cooks?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Is there a guy in that front seven? You mentioned Owe as the edge guy. Is he moving around all over the place?
Yeah, he is. He's playing right and left side. Him and Van Noy switch sides. And then Ajobu will also switch sides too. So yeah, if Steele's had a situation the last couple of weeks, he's given up a sack in the last, two times, two games. I have a feeling they'll probably look at him. They'll probably try and attack the rookie.
Yeah, Jabo against Guyton makes me a little nervous because he's got some natural bend to him. Yeah. I remember him coming out of Michigan. He played opposite Aiden Hutchinson, and that could be an issue for Guyton. If he's not, that we talk about that hands and the feet.
Right.
If he starts lunging, Ajabo's going to
feast on
him.
Hands are getting better over there if you watch that kid play, but he's got some ways to go.
Krusty's Corner is brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Reliant. Yeah. So you did the Ravens offense for us yesterday. Today, the Ravens defense. Do you feel like the Cowboys are going to get, if they're going to win this game, is it going to have to be a shootout? Are they going to have to score 25, 30? What do you think?
Oh, they're going to have to score 30. I think they're going to have to score 30. They're going to have to find ways. You've got to find ways to put pressure on this Ravens offense.
Yeah.
To me, and I said this early, I'm stacking this box and daring you to run the football. I really am. I'm like, I'm going to make them throw the football by stacking the box. I'm going to say if I'm the Cowboys, Zay Flowers is a good player. Don't get me wrong. Bateman's a good player. The running back, they've got all good players. But the one thing that, the quarterback, the biggest questions you have about him is his ability to throw. And throw consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, if I'm making him throw down after down after down, what happened in the championship game, in the AFC championship game last year? I think they ran the ball 16 times through it the rest of the time, and they didn't get in. They don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So to me, I would rather die that way than having them just run the ball down my throat.
Well, with the Overshown news, he said today he's going to be in base. I guess they see him as the spy on Lamar.
If you're going to be the spy guy, this is a couple things you need to do. You need to play with balance, and you need to be a damn good tackler. Because if you don't do either one of those things, and you go up there and you miss, it's a huge play. Mm-hmm. Whoever that guy is, if it's Parsons, whoever they decide, make sure you have balance, and then make sure you're able to tackle. Because as a spy, you have to be able to kind of mirror where that quarterback goes. This guy's difficult in the pocket. I was watching the Raiders game, and he throws the ball all the way across the field to Zay Flowers as he's drifting back and drifts back again, and then goes to his right and then throws the ball all the way across the field.
So frustrating.
They lose coverage. They lose coverage because the longer, if you look at him in the league, the metrics tell you that this guy holds the ball longer than anybody in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Over 3 seconds. The longer you make him hold, maybe the better shot you have. But what you don't want him to do is you don't want him to see a lane, because then that takes off. Then that's where your spy comes in. All of a sudden, you're starting to kind of drift, and then you go out of place, much like we saw with Kendricks on that screen play. Mm-hmm. You overrun it, and now it's a huge play. Can't have that if you're a spy.
But Overshown, I think, is the guy. I mean, he
can close better.
His closing speed's crazy.
Close, he can tackle.
He's been awesome.
Yep.
And he kind of flies in there sometimes.
Yep. He'll over-pursue a little bit. That's the one thing he needs to make sure he doesn't do.
You got to get these guys in passing situations, though. If they stay, how many times, we got to the third quarter last week in that game, and the Saints were like 4-for-4 on third down.
Mm-hmm.
And late in the third quarter, 4-for-4. They were converting on first down, second down, second down, the whole day.
Didn't Zimmer start going to at times to try and help with the run defense, doing like some 5-2 stuff there towards the in the second half of that game, where he had kind of like five D linemen and two backers, like, to try and help the situation? Because I'm wondering if that's part of what he is going to be wanting to do to stop this particular rushing attack.
He's got to find a way to, like I say, you have to take it. The one guy that could be a liability is their right guard, that run or pass. That could be a liability for them. So whatever you have to do to maybe attack that area to maybe help you in run defense. I know it's one gap and one player, but if you play up the field against that guy, you might have a chance. But if you don't, if you do what you did last week and let these tight ends and this fullback beat you up, and you play slow and you play in the middle of blocks and you don't have any leverage, You'll get run over again.
Right on. Tremendous report once again from Brian Broaddus, Krusty's Corner. Most afternoons, 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. But the Rangers were in the process of getting two hit by Gausman and the Blue Jays pitching staff this afternoon. He retired after five with back stiffness. But Krusty's Corner is brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Anything else about either team before we move on?
No, I'm okay. Good. Thank you.